Shortly after her husband, Jim Elliott, and four other missionaries were speared to death trying to reach out to a tribal group in Ecuador, Elizabeth Elliott was able to live and work with the same tribe for 2 years. It's a remarkable story of forgiveness, love, and the power of the gospel to change lives. Through her visits here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth continues to reach out with the timeless message of hope and healing. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
The Lord Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about the life of Frances Ridley Havergal. Christian biographies have had a great influence in my own life. I strongly urge you to get your hands on some good Christian biographies. And somebody might say to me, "Have you written any?" Well, thank you for that question. Yes, I have. I've written three. Two of them are still in print. One is entitled A Chance to Die. It's the biography of Amy Carmichael of India. If you don't have female role models in your life, if you didn't have a spiritual mother, you would find a spiritual mother in the pages of that book. Although I have had many spiritual mothers in the flesh, I do consider Amy Carmichael one of my spiritual mothers. And there is no way that I can express the gratitude that I feel to God and to her for the example that her life sets. A Chance to Die is the biography. And the other one is the second book that I wrote, Shadow of the Almighty. It's the biography of my husband, Jim Elliott. Those of you men who don't have a male role model, I think would find Jim's book very helpful. I have had literally hundreds of young men tell me that the most influential book in their lives, outside of the Bible, is Shadow of the Almighty. It tells the story of a 20th century disciple, a young man who died at the age of 28, a man who began keeping spiritual journals when he was about 20, and those journals also have been published under the title The Journals of Jim Elliott. If you've read Shadow of the Almighty, you might want to go on to read The Journals of Jim Elliott. But I love reading people's journals and letters. I guess I'm a snooper. I'm nosy, I'm curious, and I do love to know what it is that makes them tick. And in the life of Frances Ridley Havergal, we see a living illustration from the 19th century of this verse that I read at the opening of my program that I have been reading during the last couple of weeks. It's from John 14:23. "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." I get the impression that Frances Ridley Havergal was at home with the Lord. And I find it very difficult to swallow what she tells us about December 2nd, 1873. She was by that time 37 years old. But she says that that was the date of her full surrender to Christ. You would certainly get the impression from everything she writes long before that time that she had made a full surrender to Christ. But perhaps when we surrender to Christ at the age of 12, for example, as I did, we don't really have much idea of what's involved, and it's only through the experiences of life that we have to continually learn the scope of that surrender. I find that there's never a day that goes by in which I don't have to surrender something else, something more. But she gives December 2nd, 1873 as the date of her full surrender to Christ. She said, "That was the day on which I first saw the blessedness of true consecration. It was like a flash of electric light. There must be full surrender before there can be full happiness or blessedness." And I want to say yes with a capital Y. I believe that with all my heart. The only full happiness and blessedness here in this life is full surrender to Jesus Christ. And let me explain again the meaning for the title of this program, Gateway to Joy. In every experience of life, whether good or bad, joy or sorrow, light or darkness, sunshine or rain. I believe with all my heart that in every experience there is a gateway to joy. But we have to surrender ourselves, surrender our feelings, surrender all the things that Frances Ridley Havergal speaks about in her most well-known hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." Once we surrender, then we find full blessedness and joy. Let me read that hymn, familiar to many of you, but perhaps not all six of its stanzas. "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever, only, all for Thee." If you do have a piece of paper and a pencil, why don't you write down those last five words, "ever, only, all for Thee." Ever, only, all for Thee. So she starts the hymn with a surrender of her life, and then she gets very specific. Moments, days, hands, feet, voice, lips, silver, gold, intellect, power, will, heart, and love. All of those things she surrenders deliberately and explicitly to Jesus Christ. Are you prepared to do that? Are you saying, "But what's He going to do with it? What happens if I give it to Him?" Well, that's where trust comes in, isn't it? On the fifth and last anniversary of her surrender, she wrote to a friend, "I had a great time early this morning renewing the never regretted consecration. I seemed led to run over the Take My Life hymn and could bless Him verse by verse for having led me on to much more definite consecration than even when I wrote it, voice, gold, intellect, etc. But the 11th couplet, love, that has been unconsciously not filled up. Somehow I felt mystified and out of my depth here. It was a simple and definite thing to be done, to settle the voice or silver and gold, but love? I have to love others, and I do. And I'm not a small treasure of it, and even loving in Him does not quite meet the inner difficulty. Of course I told Him all that was in my heart, as far down as ever I knew it myself, and that He knew the rest, and so I could only hand over the whole concern to Him and implore Him to make it clear and definite. I don't see much clearer or feel much different, but I have said intensely this morning, 'Take my love,' and He knows I have said it. So I didn't fidget anymore or worry the Master anymore about it. I shall just go forward and expect Him to fill it up and let my life from this day on answer really to that couplet. The worst part to me is that I don't in practice prove my love to Him by delight in much and long communion with Him. Hands and head seem so full of other things, which yet are His given work, that heart seems not free to serve in fresh and vivid love. I've often made a commitment to the Lord, but then I didn't feel any different. And I didn't see any difference in my life. And the enemy of our souls, that ancient foe who is always seeking to work us woe, comes sneaking up and whispers in my ear, "You're a hypocrite. You fake. What was that prayer all about? It didn't mean anything. God didn't hear it. See, nothing has changed. You don't feel different." Well, I do as Francis Ridley Havergal did. I told the Lord all that was in my heart, as far down as ever I knew it myself, and He knows the rest. And so all we can do then is hand over the whole concern to Him and ask Him to make it clear and definite. Never mind your feelings. Never mind whether you see any difference. Just tell Him in honesty from your heart, "Take my love. Take my life. Take my silver and my gold. Take my intellect." Whatever it is that you need to surrender to Him. For some of you, perhaps what you need to say is, "Take my sins." That's the heaviest burden you bear. "Take my sorrows." You know, He did take them on the cross of Christ. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. What is the thing that weighs on you today, that seems heavy, that just makes you feel heavy? You're sort of walking in a heavy way, doing your work in a heavy, slow, ponderous, cumbersome way. Turn it over to Him. The cross, the symbol of suffering, can be your gateway to joy. The cross means death to myself. And that's why I say, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." And then we're going to know the joy that He knew, He who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.